the update on COVID? Do you have a sense yet of how long it could be out? How serious is it?
You know me in timelines. You know me in timelines. Cade has some elbow inflammation. It's in kind of like an interesting spot where, like, tricep, like on the lateral side of the forearm ish. So we got him a cortisone shot, and it will be really like kind of see where that goes. He's on the IL, so we're just kind of see where the cortisone shot takes us and reevaluate. Yeah, he'd be in the bullpen tonight. Yep. Yeah.
Just making sure about COVID. You said like right here, not on the...
Yeah, it's not on the inside. Yeah, it's on like the outside, which is better than the alternative. So I'm also glad he said something too. Like it's, I can only imagine for him, like that feeling. He said he felt that in the second. So you're not sure like what that would be and if you can pitch through it, because every baseball player is always focused on the other side of the elbow. So when that pops up, but it said in the third inning, it really started to tighten up on him. I'm glad he said something, for sure.
How often this year have you had to change your starting pitching lines? I mean, have you ever gotten into a groove where you didn't have to, where you didn't have to make an abrupt change?
I can't recall. I think every game I go into, you kind of have to just be ready for anything, right? The game is so unpredictable. Like you can go in expecting your starter to have 110 pitches and go seven innings, but or the vice versa, where pitch count's 80, and next thing you know, you look up and he's in the seventh. It's just one of those things where you kind of have to be ready for anything and kind of prepare for the worst and hope for the best, you know. And luckily, we have our starters, you know, they have all the potential in the world. Like, they've shown flashes of what they can do. And we have depth, which is awesome. And our bullpen has been outstanding to pick up the slack, too, where the starters are either up against it pitch count-wise or if they have to go on the IL or miss a start. Yeah, for any hitter, I think you, especially in Gunner's case, it's like what you want to do at the plate, what you're willing to sacrifice. And I think it's Gunner has the innate ability where he can shorten your swing is such a bad way of putting it, but just being two strike ready where you have to cover a lot more than what you would go into the at-bat before two strikes. But he has the ability to do damage on any pitches, and he's gifted that way. I think some other hitters, it's like you don't want to sacrifice just putting the ball in play for weak contact. So there's a balance, and every hitter's different. And I think the way our hitters have been trained and are training, like they have the ability not to sacrifice battling up the ball and still hitting it hard as opposed to just playing ping pong and just putting it in play.
Developing calluses, like, oh, well, you know, here's another one. It's just that kind of year. I mean, how are guys in the clubhouse experiencing it when you lose guys the way you guys have?
Yeah, I think it's every single time an injury happens, no matter this year or with any team, I think with our guys in particular, it's they feel for the player. Right? They know how bad they want to go out there, especially when you're in that room. They see all the work that player is putting in, how hard he works, the preparation. So when a player goes down with an injury, like, you feel for him. But also, they also know that you still have to play the game. They know that the next person up is prepared and talented to go out there and win. So it's you want to support and love on whoever is hurt, but then also realize that the next person up is ready to go. So the mindset changes and to try to figure out how to win tonight's game.
Craig, Ben McDonald said on the broadcast the other day that Bradish has had one of his best bullpens of the year. Just considering the kind of the way that he's been riding and knowing the caliber pitcher he is, do you think he's close, or are you guys hopeful that he's close to turning a corner when it comes to his command and really pitching his type of game that we've seen from him in the past?
Yeah, with KB, he's, to me, it doesn't matter how that last outing goes, he's always close. And I think that's a testament to, one, his makeup, the competitor he is, the person he is. Like, all KB wants to do is win. Every conversation I have with him is always about winning. Never about himself, always about the team. So he has the right mindset. And also, when you're that talented and gifted with the way he can spin the ball, his fastball quality, like, it's up there with some of the best in the league. So when you have those ingredients, you're always just one bullpen away, one start away, or even one pitch away from it clicking. And then he finds out, and the next thing you know, he looks up and he has a really successful season. I think it was similar to, from what I gather, when he finished fourth in the Cy Young. I think he came out of the gate slow the same time, last time I looked. So I think KB is, he, like I said, he's just one pitch away and one start away from really clicking. Right now? Yeah, he was, and he still is. It all depends on like where our pitching is.
Greg, when a hitter's going rough, like Hunter's had some rough nights recently, what goes into your thought in making up a lineup? Is there a time to move him down, or are there certain hitters who have established a certain resume that you think we've got to leave them put?
Yeah, to me, with Gunner, you just leave him put. I mean, the track record speaks for itself, the talent. You know, it's, you talk about KB being one pitch away or one bullpen away. Gunner is in the same scope where he's just one swing away. And the last game was very encouraging with what he was feeling at the plate, his approach, and his feedback on that. So when you take all that into account, you talk with the hitting coaches, how the work is going, you feel confident in leaving him in the top of the order. Yeah, I grabbed three of them. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You don't like Tupac?
He's more of a Biggie guy.
I'm more of a Biggie guy? I like Biggie. Biggie's fine. Let's not start a riot right now, okay? Let's not do that, please. Everyone's excited for that. But also, everyone's excited just to be home. You know, Friday night game here in Baltimore. A long, grindy road trip. You know, the boys are excited to kind of get out here and be in front of our fan base and packed house. So it'll be a fun night.
Right, the fans have been lining up since noon for the bobblehead, and the gates are actually going to be opening up a half hour earlier. Have you had a chance to see the bobblehead in person yet? You had a tweet when it was announced that went pretty viral. Since tonight's the night, have you had a chance to see the bobblehead?
Yeah, I definitely grabbed them right when I came in. Yeah, they had a display out there for everyone in the clubhouse. I grabbed three of them for the kids. And when I say for the kids, one would be for me. Gigi doesn't know Tupac yet, so Norman and CJ do. That's a whole different story. But yeah, we definitely grab it. It's fun. I think it's awesome. And it should be a fun night, especially on City Connect night, too.
What's your favorite Tupac song?
Man, there's so many good ones. It's not really a known one. I really enjoyed Pain. You know, it's tough to find. This is back on, I'm dating myself, but on Napster or LimeWire. They try to download that, try to find the right one. All Eyes on Me. Like, there is, he has classics. Classics.
You being a Tupac fan, and of course knowing the discography, what song would you say encapsulates this Orioles team this year?
Ooh. That's a really good question. I should have come prepared for this one. Man. Yeah, All Eyes on Me. I think that's where it's, especially with our group and where we're at right now, and I think that's a very fitting song for us. Yeah, I think so. I hope so. Yeah. That's a good question. I probably should ask around about that. everyone in the clubhouse assumes they're feeling it, so I'm hoping that they know Tupac.
I'm going to break the five-question Tupac streak, but, you had the option to maybe give Kobe a mental day off when you constructed the lineup. He's in there. Last night we saw him accountable handling questions after that. Could you kind of just assess like his readiness to, it goes with your mantra, the day one mantra, but just how he's approaching today and every day?
Yeah, he's ready to go today. I had a chance to talk with Kobe after the game, not immediately after. We had some other discussions to figure out on the pitching side with Cade and the bullpen. We want to make sure that we get the whoever was coming up in motion and stuff. And so I grabbed Kobe afterwards, and he was down on himself, but not in the sense of like he's checked out. I think it's disappointment. He's working. He has worked and still is working hard at third base. Early in the game, he made an outstanding play on Estuvio Ruiz, who's one of the fastest runners in the game. So there's a lot of growth there, but also there's still a lot of work to be done. And he acknowledges that. And our conversation was awesome. It was gave me the right headspace to put him in the lineup today. Yeah, it's awesome. And I think it's not just Pete, it's everyone. Everyone has their own way of having conversations with their teammates and how it lands. And that's something that I talked about in this offseason. I think it was a press conference about leadership looks different for everybody. And when you're trying to be a vocal leader and not a vocal leader, it doesn't land, right? And everyone has their own way of leading, and that's what we're really champion here, and guys do that. And Pete's a very vocal guy, and he says what's on his mind, but in the best way possible. And for us as coaches, like we talk to the players at nauseam, right? And just like you would as a parent, sometimes like your kids don't listen to you, but they'll listen to somebody else. So it's the same way with players. And Pete does a great job. All of our players do a great job of communicating with the staff. Of like, hey, this, I talked to so-and-so about this, and just to make sure the messaging is all the same and to hear what they say and feedback, because I firmly believe in like the neighborhood approach when it comes to talking with players and development, where everyone has the same message to the player hearing the same thing. The words might be different, but at least the message is the same, and Pete embodies that to a T. Yeah, I mean, the kid's only 24 years old. It's still a lot of development left, just like with all our guys. Like, everyone has stuff to work on. And with Kobe, there's been some really good and there's been some bad. And that's why I say development is messy. And none of these guys have finished products. And especially with Kobe, where, he was getting reps at first base last year. And he came up as a third baseman. Now he's back at third. And he's taken to it well. He's continuing to work. And I have no problem with him going out and playing third base for us.